Silver World, August 12, 1876, Colorado. The year 1876 brings with it some other things besides the exposition in Philadelphia, prominent among which is the erecting of the Centennial State, Colorado. In the whole history of the nation, scarcely a state has started its independent existence under more favorable auspices than does this child of the Far West. Over this can be uttered no such sentiments as apply to the proposed admission of New Mexico. The population is native, cultured, and ample. More than 150,000 people are credited to this little state lying close to the base of the Rocky Mountains. This is largely in excess of Nebraska, Oregon, Nevada, and Florida. Permission was granted by Congress some time since for Colorado to adopt the name and attendant obligations of a state. This privilege has not been accepted unanimously by the people, though a majority of 10,000 voted in favor of it. Many preferred to have the expenses of government met by the national government rather than assume the cost of legislating for themselves. To be sure, they are now entitled to a representative and two senators in Congress, but this, to those who have a horror of taxes, is a very trifling moment. However, all this is past, and Colorado is in for it. She is the 38th state, and throughout the length and breadth of the land, that number of guns has proclaimed the entrance into natural life of a now sister. The balance of the sisterhood may well be proud of her. Her constitution is a model for many older states, and from the character of the people who make up the population, we think the Centennial State is a good one in which to live. The residents of this state are not to suffer its importation or manufacture of bad liquors. This probably includes the whole list. And what is to hinder Colorado's becoming the heaven of all temperance men? Many remember, doubtless, that it was in this state that the famous town of Greeley was founded some years since, in which neither whiskey nor circuses were to be tolerated. Long may the town imitate the virtues of the grand old man after whom it was named. The forests are to be preserved. Bribery is to be severely punished. Education is to be compulsory. And we say all hail to this clause, even though it be a free country. There are to be no appropriations for sectarian schools. The women are to vote if they want to. The legislature is to meet only once in 2 years. How we envy the people. No special laws. No towns are to be robbed by bonding for railroad enterprises. The tax for state purposes shall not exceed 6 mils upon the dollar. And the governor can veto certain portions of an appropriation bill while approving the rest. We wonder if this isn't about as it should be. What more can be desired? With such principles to start upon, the state cannot help making a success so far as government is concerned. Her natural advantages are fine, being one of the best states in the Union for the growth of cereals. Her facilities in the way of grazing and dairy are unrivaled. And as for precious metals, gold and silver, she has in her mountains an inexhaustible source of wealth. Altogether, the future before our Centennial State seems to be a very bright one. On the 4th of July, the good people of Denver made the most of their accession to the Union and cheered themselves hoarse over the representation of the states wherein Colorado appeared as a beautiful blonde, bedecked with silver and gold, and covered with a lace veil. But the peculiar significance of this appears only when it is known that she was the first white child born in Denver, and that the day was her 16th birthday. The astonishing growth of the state is evident in this. All that is now lacking is the proclamation of President Grant to make Colorado, indeed, what she already is, in name, the 38th state of the Union. Syracuse Standard.